This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Cotton Cloud Futons, a locally owned business featuring futons and mattresses, frames, covers, furnishings, and accessories which can be made with organic and recycled materials. Cotton Cloud is located at 701 Northeast Broadway in Portland. Information at 503-335-0758 or cottoncloudfutons.com.
The midnight hour have found me lonely, so unhappy as I can be. You left me, yes, you left me without a love. Gave you my loving, everything I own. That's why it's so shocking to find you gone. It's killing me, it's hard to be without a love.
Welcome to Voices from the Edge. I'm Dave Mazza, and I'm flying solo here this morning. Joanne is returning from the East Coast and presumably has been out there stirring up trouble. It's interesting. She goes to East Coast and George Bush goes over to Asia. Coincidence? I don't know. But we started off the morning with a little bit of change in music, an old Wilson Pickett favorite done by Ray Charles. And we're going to have kind of an open mic session, I guess, this time this morning. A lot going on. Don't have any particular guests, but lots of things we can talk about. It's been a busy week in Portland, and I'm sure folks out there will have their opinions on some of these subjects. So get ready to start calling in, and let's see what sort of conversation we can get going this morning. Looking at the Oregonian, I mean, the thing that jumped out at me, I think, was quite remarkable is mayor says police stops act of racism. Now, I don't know the last time we had a mayor who actually was willing to admit that there's a racist problem inside the police bureau. So this is certainly refreshing. For folks who may not have had a chance to see the story, there was testimony before city council earlier in the week in which Casey Jama, he's a Somali refugee, quite active in the community and was actually active in Potter's campaign, came up at the end of a session and pointed out the fact that he'd been pulled over by the police, I think, four times in a year and a half time period with really no justification for the stops. And, you know, driving while black seemed to be the problem. And to which the mayor just kind of called it just as he saw it, saying that it looks like it's a problem with race here. Now, what comes of that, of course, will be the big question, but it's certainly an important first step. We certainly didn't hear that sort of thing coming out of the Katz administration at any time. There was always some sort of justification for the things that were being done in the communities of color and low-income communities and vis-a-vis the police. So we should give our kudos to the mayor for what it's worth and encourage him to keep that momentum going, and let's really start looking at some problems, because it hasn't been happening yet. So that's a big one. And I guess, you know, Potter's kind of on a roll, too, because he also kind of, while he was at it, smacked around Paul Allen. You know, for those of you who haven't been following that, Allen has the chutzpah to want to try to get another subsidy out of us. Otherwise, he's going to take the trailblazers and leave town, which, of course, would cause us such a great deal of pain and suffering to have that happen. I'm not a basketball fan, so I can't comment on the standing of the team in the city. But I can certainly say that, you know, they've been sopping up enough public dollars as it is, and you know, Allen's filed for bankruptcy to try to get out from under obligations to the city. Potter told him that, you know, if he wanted more subsidies, he better come to town and talk to the community, not to the mayor. And furthermore, he'd let him know that bankruptcy wasn't going to get him out from under any obligations he had. So I guess we could say our mayor's batting two for two right now. And again, we should be encouraging that. That's quite refreshing to see that sort of happen. I know that too often our elected officials tend to be too busy trying to figure out what they can do to please the extremely rich. So again, quite a good thing. We also, of course, have the surge in the economy with looks like there's going to be tax rebates coming in this year, $666 million, an ominous number. Though there's going to be kicker shock, as the Oregonian called it. So it's a lot going on. Let's say earlier, George Bush has gone to Asia. He's apparently in India right now trying to undo the nuclear non-proliferation treaty there, signing some sort of treaty with them, or nuclear, however it is he says it, then plans on going to Pakistan, and I guess he's made a stop or is going to make a stop in Afghanistan, which that's sort of dropping the ultimate weapon on the Taliban. So we'll see how that all unfolds. By the way, it's interesting, I think, that in the last few days we've been getting more leaks out in the press. BBC reports about a week ago saying, U.S. officials saying that the war's not going well in Afghanistan. We're not hearing much of it here, but clearly the Taliban, which had supposedly been crushed, has in fact been waging the same sort of insurgency that the insurgents in Iraq are waging, and quite successfully. So once again, the U.S. finds itself in Afghanistan in sort of that traditional position most imperialist powers find themselves in Afghanistan, in that they may control the capital city, but you can walk about 5 yards out of there and it's not in your hands anymore. It's definitely in the hands of the locals. So just one more grim note on our little escapades over in that part of the world. So I don't know if any of that catches your fancy for discussion, but why don't you give us a call at 503-231-8187 and see if that's any of these issues or you'd like to talk about. I think particularly the police thing is an important piece. I mean, we haven't seen much progress around police issues lately. It's been sort of a sleepy thing because, after all, just our review system is non-existent. It's a little ceremony that they hold every month, and people go there and they go through the process of reviewing the complaints, and nothing ever happens. And personally, I think that the progressive community needs to just boycott the process and start demanding a change, and that we're at a point now where participation is almost on the verge of being collaboration. I think that, there's obviously, the system is broke, it's not working, we're not correcting police behavior, we're not changing policy, and our sitting there and participating in that is simply giving it a window dressing of legitimacy that it obviously doesn't deserve. So I would hope that folks who are working on that might start considering that it might be time to walk out the door, because, it's not just about having access. If you have access, that's great, but if it doesn't get you anything, then you start becoming part of the problem rather than part of the solution. So so let me know what you think about that. Give me a call at 503-231-8187 and hear what they have to say about that or anything else that might be on your mind this second day of March. And it looks like we have a caller, so why don't we bring you online? Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Well, it's a sunny day. It's nice. Kind of gloomy what Bush is doing over there. You know, it's all about managing China. That whole India, Pakistan, doing his rounds.
Our version of the great game.
It's the great game. And this is what they're trying to do, is manage China. They are a force to be reckoned with. And we have no idea on how far this is even gone. It's so under the sheets right now. But really, they are the force that's going to be running this world in the near future. So I think what he's doing is, obviously, if you look at where our military bases are and you look at where our allies are, we have China surrounded.
Right.
And that is to manage China and to keep them under wraps, even though we know that they can, well, they vowed to come through economically and crush us in an economic war, and they're doing that right now as we speak. So we've really got to get some people in office that are looking towards the future of helping manage their own people, manage the healthcare. And I mean, it's just ludicrous to see that Pakistan and India can have nuclear weapons, but Iran can't, or nuclear energy. And it's like, there's such a hypocrisy there and a contradiction. It's just disgusting.
It's very frustrating. And excuse me, I agree with you that obviously that's one of the primary, that's the long-term strategy, is how do we sort of keep China as an open market and at the same time curtail it from moving into world power status. I mean, China's a force to be reckoned with now, but not to the degree that the Soviet Union once was. And Afghanistan provided us with a wonderful opportunity to set up bases in all those surrounding little republics, which, by the way, border on China's western borders.
And we got Japan on the eastern border.
That's right.
And then, but the real problem, Dave, is what we're going to watch is we got to watch this China area over there, that strait that they got going on that they're fighting for right now.
Right.
That's the real problem right there. This is what's going to be the big deal within the next 6 months to a year. We got to watch what China's going to do with their own people there in that strait.
Yeah, well, and of course, Taiwan itself is a big issue since, China has refused, rightfully so, I suppose, to give up its claims of sovereignty for that island. And, anything that goes on there, and there's some forces on the island wanting true independence, and that could spark something quite ugly.
Well, they want to control that strait. They want to control that waterway. That's the big shipping lane there. So,
right.
Let's go back. So let's watch that. That's something really serious, because that will drag Japan in, which will drag us in and drag India in. It's a really big situation right there that's very volatile, and we've got to watch that. But really, let's get back to the nitty-gritty. We've got, I heard in the news, was that Gordon Smith is being found that he's been taking monies. I thought I heard something right before you came on in the news that we've got a lot of fleecing of America's money. We've got a lot of fleecing. We've got a lot of stealing, a lot of bribery. And we really need to start getting down. And Joanne Bowman's working on a deal about the kicker tax.
Right.
And, we really need to be educated about that kicker tax, because we've only seen some of the what's coming up. And the kicker tax next year is really what's going to, hurt the middle class. Devastate them?
It hurts everybody, other than the top, just the top layers. The corporations make out on the deal, but everybody else, I mean, it's a tough nut to crack, because you're going, you're fighting the fact that, someone's getting even though it's only a couple of $100, you're getting a check, you're getting money handed to you.
And people are happy for that couple hundred bucks.
Well, that's because they're so stressed out. Everybody's in despite what our governor seems to think about the economy, most people are not doing that well. They may be, we may be seeing employment coming back, but the people are moving into lower paying jobs as opposed to the older, higher paying jobs they used to have. So a couple hundred bucks can make a big difference.
Right, but look at they're working 3-4 jobs to make that, because the jobs aren't there anymore. And now you look at the division within the family.
Mm-hmm.
The division within the family, and this is where they want to crack us. They want to crack us in the next generation. They want to break us wide open in the next generation. They have this thing like the Nazis did, and they come through and they attack every facet of what we are, our medical, our social security, our business, all that stuff, and they get us spinning around in a circle, and we have no which way to go. And so what's happening is then they're dividing the family and uneducating the children. So in the next generation, you've got this easily manipulative zombie walking around, and they can pull the string in every direction they want you to go, and they'll pull it. And so, number one, we should watch about what's going on with China. We must force our legislature and our politicians locally to deal with the children's issue, because, we're all 36, 48, 52. I mean, we're down the way, but I got a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and those are the people that we got to start laying the tracks for.
That's right, and so, I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. We're going to have to
fight for the rights for our children. And again, Pink Floyd said this great: "Divided we stand, or divided we fall." Say it to me. Together we stand, divided we fall. And that's exactly what this is. We need to start coming together and holding hands, just like that little saying going across the street, look left, look right, hold on to your papa's hand tight.
That's what
we need to do here with our people, okay?
Okay, well, thanks
Take care,
a lot.
Dave.
You
Bye.
Too. Bye now. And for folks just tuning in, you're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM. This is Voices from the Edge. I'm Dave Mazza. Joanne is otherwise engaged this morning. She's coming back from, I think, Washington, D.C., and wasn't able to make it for the show this morning, but she'll be back next week. And we're just kind of having a free-for-all here, talking about a variety of things, and let's take our next caller. Good morning, caller.
Well, hey, Dave Mazda, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
Okay, pretty good. Just a couple of quick things. There was a little photo in Willamette Week this week, and it was on the shrine board of a local tavern that said, "Paul, need a payday loan?"
Well, there's a financial answer for his problems.
There you go. I was talking to some people down at the gas station, Dave, and we were thinking that we probably ought to go to the food bank and pick up Paul a food basket so we can make ends meet.
Well, you know, you could do a canned food drive for him. You know, maybe
that,
do it out in front of the Rose Garden, and
we ought the listeners ought to get together and take all the little canned groceries that they have hanging around in their cupboards and filling it up in like brown paper bags and just lining it up in front of the Rose Garden. What do you think?
I like it. I like the imagery of it. You know, the thing is, though, the guy probably will actually take the groceries from us.
Well, of course he would. Why not? Fill those. And look, we ought to fill those brown grocery sacks with Spam.
Well, okay. I'm sure there's some folks out there who object. You know, there are those followers of Spam. So.
I, the Hawaiians. That would be the Hawaiians, Dave. Okay, so I've got something really that I want to share this morning.
Uh-huh.
Okay, on Sunday afternoon, about 2:30, I got a call that I'm said it was a political survey, and if I would be willing to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, yeah, sure, of course I will. To find out that this political survey started out innocently enough by asking if I liked the direction the city was going, what I thought about Mayor Potter, what I thought about the city council. And all of a sudden, this conversation evolved into a misinformation campaign against poor Mr. Stanton.
Uh-huh. Right.
Okay, so now, the caller was from Battleground, Michigan,
mm-hmm.
okay, who kept on referring to Jenny Burdick as Jenny Bradrock.
Ah. I was wondering. It sounded like something with her fingerprints on it.
Yeah. Yeah, and all of a sudden, all of this spin and like misinformation coming out about poor Mr. Stanton. And I've got to be upfront with you right now. I think Eric Stanton made a statement, and I really think it's time for him to give up his seat, along with Dan Saltzman, because our Portland community has changed.
Mm-hmm.
It's more ethnically and culturally diverse. And right now, there's just a bunch of white guys sitting on it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right? Okay. Now, that being said, I think Eric Stanton is a prince. I had the honor of working with Mr. Stanton at Project Homeless Connect. And to think that Mr. Stanton rolled up his sleeves and worked there all day when he could have left after the photo op,
mm-hmm.
Which he didn't do, all right, and to take a man like that and besmirch his name and make him make it sound like every single problem that this city has is like Eric Sten's fault and Jenny Bradrock is a mixture of Mother Teresa, the Blessed Virgin, and Joan of Arc.
Well, you know, maybe voters need to write in a write-in candidate and vote for Jenny Bradrock for city council as opposed to... if that's who's making the calls.
Yeah, I certainly hope that when the ballots come out in like May, that the voters don't get confused here.
Right.
Because she also referred to Eric Sten as Eric Steen or Stein. Okay, and I kept on correcting the poll taker about the mispronunciation of like Jenny Burdick's name.
Mm-hmm.
And her supervisor was standing right behind her because this other voice came through my phone, and she kept on saying, "No, it's Burdick. No, it's Burdick." And I thought it was hilarious.
Well, yeah, and it's only going to get worse as we get closer to the election, you know, the polling starts, and as you've experienced, much of that is, they outsource it to companies in various parts of the country.
Well, yes, they do, and look, I'll tell you what, it was a real honor and a privilege for, for Ms. Bradrock's, Battleground Michigan headquarters to give me a call.
Well, thanks a lot for letting folks know about that, and they can be kind of listening for it. We've got to move on, but...
Okay, go ahead. Thank you for the airtime, Dave. Have a really wonderful day.
You too now.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good morning. Let's go to our next caller. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, hello. Here I go. I've been very disappointed for some years. In International Women's Day, the way it's celebrated in Portland, what I'm disappointed about, even though I don't have the energy and the health to start something, is that at this event, or even without this event, that female, here's what I believe, before I get into this, I believe maybe if females in this, at least in this country, try to work on making sisterhood, whatever that is, it's like on Cecil and Celeste's program, they were talking about privacy. What do you mean by privacy? Okay, whether I or anybody else don't know how to make real sisterhood shouldn't come into the picture. Maybe it never was in the world. But I believe if we could work on making honest, healthy sisterhood, whatever that is in this country, that maybe we could help surmount the unhealth in this country.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be no attempt by females, even those that know have the energy and the health and the attention. These females that probably could get some attention or something going are involved in a lot of important issues. But I think this is an important issue. It's not a popular issue. So I just want to put that out, even though it's probably not going to be respected but I believe that I should at least put this energy out that we need to make real sisterhood. And when I think of all this diversity that people talk about, yeah, diversity is great, it has good energy.
Mm-hmm.
But out of all this diversity in woman, there seems to be nothing there. I guess there's no glory, there's no money, and it'd be a hard struggle, but I know it'll be worth it. But anyway, I wanted to put it out. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Well, and I think you're raising an important point, and it's, you know, it's easy for our language to slide into sort of meaningless jargon. We talk about, you know, we as a progressive community use a certain language, and sometimes if we don't stop and think about what do these terms really mean, they can become pretty hollow phrases. And, you know, things like diversity, solidarity, sisterhood, brotherhood, whatever, he could just, you know, pull one of the phrases out of the bowl there. And if we don't stop and think about that and think about how are we actually developing that? Are we cultivating that? You know, and is that an important thing to do? Then, you know, again, it just starts becoming a lot of noise. So I think anytime you suggest, let's take a little break here and go back to basics and kind of check where things are, I think that's a good thing. So, I think viewers, I'm confused. I'm on radio and I'm talking about viewers. I think listeners, should maybe take that caller's suggestion as a way to start off planning for International Women's Day 2007. And maybe there could be an opportunity to start laying down some basics there at that point. So folks out there, maybe put that in your notebook for next year. Let's move on to our next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Very good. Hey, you brought up the kicker tax.
Yeah.
And I take it you're not in favor of getting it back?
Well, no, actually, I don't have a problem so much with the kicker going to people under a certain income level. And I, rather than focus so much on the kicker, I'm much more interested in squeezing the fat boys who are getting away with way too much, are paying way too few taxes.
Well, you know, but who are the fat boys? What fat boys are you talking about?
Well, I think, you know, if you look at the fact that corporations in this state pay less, a lower rate of tax than individuals do.
Okay, but you know what you don't understand? Okay, I don't know. What level of corporation? Because I own a corporation with 15 to 20 employees, okay?
Corporation. Yeah, you're not the folks we're talking about. We're talking about, you know,
okay, but you know what you fail to understand. I hear this lambasting corporations all the time is, on my 20 employees, you know, when they pay their FICA tag, I got to pitch in half of that.
Uh huh.
Do you have any idea how much that is per month for me?
Well, yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I know that that's a significant
close to $5,000 per month every single month that I got to pay. 5 times 12. That's a hell of a lot of money.
Well, that's because you're a little corporate fish in the big corporate pool, and you're not getting the same sort of breaks that, say, Mr. Allen gets or
well, you know what? You know what? Those are far and few between, okay?
Well, I think, you know, I would suggest visit the Oregon Center for Public Policy. They have a number of papers that they've done, research on the taxes, and I think you should look at that, and you would find that those aren't far and few between, that there are a lot of big fish making their way out of the tax net and leaving us to hold the bag. So,
well, listen, okay, if you're a corporation and you employ even 200, 300 people, you've got to pitch into people's on that tax. You can't avoid it.
Well, yeah, you're talking FICA, right? You're talking FICA.
Right.
Well, but that's not the only tax that corporations pay.
Okay, you know what? If you don't like it, start your own company. You know, these corporations took a risk. I took a risk when I started my company. I put out a lot of money. I had to borrow on my house to start my, I mean, I took a risk.
Well, you know.
If you don't like, as an employee, if you don't like it, start your own damn company.
Well, sir, I don't wish to belittle your efforts. I know a lot of small businesses that work very hard and have a difficult time getting by in these circumstances. But the very nature of corporations are to limit risk, so that if things go badly, creditors can't go after you personally. There's a thing called the corporate veil. That's the whole purpose of a corporation, is to limit risks. And over the years, thanks to the Supreme Court decisions, corporations have taken on more and more rights and privileges. In fact, they are viewed as persons, things that were never intended by the founding fathers. In fact, the whole history of our country has been the struggle to limit the power of corporations and to make them be more responsible. And again, I'm talking about the big guys. I'm not talking about the little entrepreneurs.
Okay. Well, back to the kicker tax. You know what? I don't care. I don't care if it's 50 cents. If people don't want, I've always said, if people don't want their kicker tax, put it back in an envelope and send it back to the Oregon State Revenue.
Well,
okay. And I bet if you gave them that option, they wouldn't get 1% of those checks back.
Probably not. Folks are stressed out, but we're going
to. No, it's not stress. It's my money.
Okay.
I want my money.
Okay. Well.
I mean, give me a break.
Well, I don't anticipate any changes in the process right away. So
you'll
be getting your check, I'm sure.
And you know what? And you know what I'm going to do with it?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to reinvest it.
Well, good. Good. I appreciate that. Now, we're going to have to move on. You have a good day now. And for folks just tuning in, you're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM. This is Voices from the Edge. I'm Dave Mazza. Joanne is not here today. She's out there doing some good work. And we're just kind of all over the board here. We're talking police. We're talking kicker. We're talking George Bush doing whatever it is he's doing. And we're talking, well, we had someone talking about sisterhood and the need to really think about what that means and cultivating it. So let's take our next caller. And if you want to join us in this conversation, by the way, give us a call at 503-231-8187. And good morning, caller. Dial tone. But I'm sure there's another one there because I see our intrepid engineer working on the phone there. And yeah, there's a lot been happening this week. It's been one of those weeks. Do we have another caller? Well, apparently not. Well, we've been, as you know, George Bush is out there traipsing around India and Afghanistan, and good Lord knows what else he's going to be doing. And meanwhile, another part of the world, folks should note, a very serious turn of events in the Philippines. The anniversary of the ouster of Marcos has been celebrated by the U.S.-backed president of the Philippines by calling a state of emergency. And apparently, based on a statement put out by Gabriela, which is a Philippine political group that international has chapters actually all over the country, and there's a small one here in Portland, sent out a statement yesterday. It was actually a report on an address made by a member of the Philippine Congress. She was talking about the fact that the police have been rounding up dissidents, shutting down newspapers, and threatening to arrest members of the Philippine Congress. Apparently, President Arroyo, who has been skating on some pretty thin ice because of her backing of generally what you could call the Bush agenda, and has been receiving more and more opposition from the people, apparently felt it was necessary to make this move before she ended up like her predecessor, whose name escapes me, was a movie actor that they made president who was so corrupt that he was ousted by a peaceful mass demonstration, basically a general strike. And which is the second time the Philippine people have done that and successfully gotten rid of these guys. If they do it, I don't know what, you know, we need to bring some of those folks here and have them teach us how to do it, because they've shown themselves extremely adept at removing bad elected leaders and not doing it in a violent way. But it sounds like things are getting really bad again in the Philippines. As many know, since 9/11, we've been putting troops back into the Philippines to, quote, fight terrorism. Many see that as the opening of the door to reinstate the U.S. bases that were closed down there earlier under a different regime. And certainly Arroyo has not voiced any opposition to that. So another little bit of the ugly war on terrorism and U.S. Marching around with its big stick. But enough of that. Let's get on to our next caller. Good morning, caller.
That's a lot more interesting than what I called to talk about, which is what you just finished talking about before the last thing you were talking about, which was the kicker tax that, according to your news this morning on the cable news, that kicker tax, if it weren't, would fill the void of a lot of human services up to about $170 million
mm-hmm.
needed, that if there weren't that kicker tax, it would go into filling that mammoth void, which is the lifeblood of most people. It's medical services, it's services for mental health, and those don't exist. The fellow who called in, who has the 20 employees, a long time ago when he called in, he talked about his 20 employees and how happy they were. They were just like jumping up and down with joy because he paid them a really good wage. And the talk show, the guy who's host who was doing the program, I don't know who it was, asked him, did they get medical coverage? And he said, no, I don't give them that. So, you know, I'm not sure if they're that happy.
Yeah.
Because all it takes is one good, you know, sickness to lose your job. I mean, he's not going to, how long is he going to wait for someone who has a really bad medical or mental condition to come back to work?
Right.
And I bet you he hires someone else.
You know, Betty
dumps them. And those are the people that need that kicker tax money. And there's more of those people than there are of these. He considers himself a good corporate guy. Most of the corporations don't care. They don't even, we don't exist to them. The only thing that exists is the stockholders and the amount of money mm-hmm. that the CEO, can, you know, stockpile. And there's so many people. I'm so amazed when I go into Portland, I get in my car, which barely runs, especially in high winds. And, I mean, the winds always keep me from moving. Anyway, when I'm going in, it's like they just keep building more lanes for yeah. cars, for all the people. I mean, the population explosion and the houses that are built 1 inch from each other. And there's like 3 inches of dirt that you could plant like one sunflower. And it's so scary. I can't wait to get home to my dirt.
Well, you know, and all we hear is we keep getting these announcements that, you know, the projections, another 500,000 will be moving into Portland by such and such a date. Mm-hmm. How do we manage this growth as opposed to saying, how do we just develop our economy in a way that says we have enough people? You know, how do we kind of reach this space where we don't base everything on growth? I mean, mm-hmm. right now we use a strategy. It's the strategy of cancer. We just keep growing and growing and growing until we end up, you know, killing the host. And, yeah. You know, that's not part of the public discussion.
It's hard to imagine that the majority of people, I mean, in numbers, are the invisible element in all of this. And when the phrase, you know, what's good for the economy, is used by the federal government for all the horrible stuff they do. Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing that what's good for the economy is it's directing a lot of bad things towards immigration. I know there are a couple of guys that call in about immigrants mm-hmm. to KBOO, and it's pretty amazing that now the federal government is doing this deal with the Arab Emirates to have certain immigrants come in and do certain things because the cost is really low.
Yeah.
And I mean, the outsourcing, it's outsourcing coming back to us. And it's just amazing how what's good for the economy isn't good for us.
Well, you know, and, you know, it's this...
It's just good for the few,
right.
The few that own the corporations,
and
these aren't even if like the fellow said, oh, you know, there are not that many bad corporations. It doesn't take that many to rule the whole country. I mean, basically, they're merging.
Yeah,
you've got to remember they're merging.
These corporations that have you know, their annual income are the equivalent of, you know, good sized nations, mm-hmm. the budgets of good sized nations. I mean, you know,
exactly.
If you look at
and they own our government. There's how many lobbyists to each politician? 68 or 48 or something like that. I mean, they already own the government. So actually, they own the country.
Well, it just goes to how well I think that they've managed to indoctrinate people. I mean, the fellow who was on the line, you know, I don't question that he works really hard to make his business go, and I might disagree with some of his practices, I don't know. But why identify with a group of people, a class of people who don't care a lick about him? I mean, you know, General Motors and, you know, Time Warner and all those folks don't really care about the little business guy who's running 20 employees. And,
absolutely.
You know,
remember the funeral scam years ago
mm-hmm.
where the one huge funeral company took over all the southern states? They were
right.
buying up all the funeral parlors. It was in Harper's Magazine or
mm-hmm.
Atlantic or something incredible about how the little guys can be just stepped on in 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty easy. But, you know, I think he's trying to demonstrate capitalism. And, I mean, he said he invested. He took a chance. That's fine. There's a lot of people that are working that cannot take out loans, that cannot take that chance. And they need to be remembered. They need to be remembered when it comes to medical. The clients
mm-hmm.
I serve need medical severely, and it comes and goes for them, depending on on the whims of the legislature. But right now, that kicker tax could fill the needs of a lot of human services that are poorly funded.
And, you know, anyway, corporate gains at the end of the quarter are not the only way to measure what sort of society we want to build. I would say it's probably the worst way. I mean, you know, we need to be thinking in terms of we didn't end up on this planet to be, you know, reduced to little drones making a few people rich and judging our success as human beings, whatever success as a human being is.
I mean, how could Cheney be happy when he retires to his new mansion on the East Coast that he's just bought? How can he retire knowing that he's how many children he's had blown up in Iraq? Brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers. I mean, how can you enjoy that kind of wealth at the end of doing these kind of things?
Well, going into the mind of Cheney, that's a dark and scary place. I'm not sure I'm ready to go there, but want to thank you for your comments. We've got to move on. We've got some other callers. And for folks just tuning in, you're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM. I'm Dave Mazza. This is Voices from the Edge. I'm flying solo here. Joanne's out of town. She'll be back next week. And like I say, we're talking about a little bit of everything here, including the dark mind of Dick Cheney. But, hey, important part is don't ever take an invitation to go hunting with the guy. Let's bring on our next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Dave.
How you doing?
Good. Say, you know, you've got a very nice radio voice and a nice radio personality. I hope you'll cultivate it.
Well, thank you.
Just try to get on the lighter side here. A colleague of mine was asking yesterday if it was true that Paul Allen was considering an offer to sell the Trailblazers to the United Arab Emirates. You like that? I like that.
Yeah.
I got to thank Mr. Allen for lightening up things here.
Yeah, well, you know, with the way the world's going, it's good to have a little comic relief now and then.
And kind of in the same vein, it's a question that's been bothering me about abortion. Assuming that things are going the way they seem to be going and abortion will at some point become illegal, mm-hmm. and assuming that part of the logic is that the fetus is a human life, my question is, will you get a tax deduction at the point of conception? And will you become a head of household if you're not married?
Well, I think probably the IRS should start working on that now because there'll doubtless be special forms for that.
Well, I think, you know, it sounds like it's where it's headed. That's all I had. I just try to interject a little levity here.
I appreciate that. We can always use it.
Okay, thanks, Dave.
Have a good one now. And let's bring on our next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Hey, you know, this one thing that bothers me is when people call up and they'll tell you half of their finances, mm-hmm. and then complain about it. Like this guy, I mean, say he's paying his $5,000 in his employment taxes a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his payroll's around $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, if he's been calling in with this for a long time, so his business is continuing. I mean, I'm consuming the guy's making some kind of money. And if his business is typical, I had a very high labor business, and payroll is about 20% of my revenue. So if that's the case with this gentleman, he's making $200,000 a month or $2.4 million a year, which isn't too bad for a small business.
Oh, no.
He only has to make a 5% profit to pocket $120,000 himself. Just because he's paying $5,000 a month in taxes, what's that say for his revenue? And if we don't know that, how can we feel sorry for him?
Right.
And if he's going to sit here and put numbers on the table, you lay your whole tax return out, buddy, because it doesn't make any sense unless you do.
Well, I agree. He seems to be rather angry.
Yeah, he's angry, but you know what? I think he's making money. And I think even though he is a small business and he is not part of the people who are making the big bucks in terms of the you know, president's tax plans and stuff, mm-hmm. you know what? I bet he's making money, and I bet he's doing okay.
But he wants more.
Of course he does. You know, who doesn't? But, you know, if he's not going to be up front and give us the whole story, then there's no sense listening to half of it.
Yeah, well.
And that's just, it just kind of bugs me, because if he's got 20 employees, he's making $2.4 million a year, you know, I'll bet he's doing okay. That's just an observation.
Okay, well, thanks for putting that out there.
Thanks.
All right. And it's, it was about 20 after the hour, and this is KBOO 90.7 FM, Voices from the Edge, Dave Mazza here. Joanne's not here, but will be next week, back at the command post and ready to do a show. And let's see, we've still got callers on the line. Let's bring on the next caller. Good morning.
Hello, Dave.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Hey, Dave, what do you think about public power? Whatever happened?
We got rolled over, didn't we?
I know you were one of the, 11 candidates for the Multnomah County PUD.
Ah, yes, my private history of a campaign that failed.
Yeah, but there were 48,000 votes. People, enlightened folks, despite $3.2 million of spending by both Scottish Power and by Enron.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a long time ago, but doesn't it seem like those 48,000 folks were kind of ahead of the curve?
Well, I think so. I think so. And I'm just not because they voted, some of them voted for me, but,
you would have been on the board.
I think that obviously they were, as we see this continue to sort of limp along and unfold, and, we know we're looking at rates going to be going up again and again.
Right.
We were just, the victims of a very well conducted, campaign. I mean, you saw the ads. We don't need another layer of government. And, we're a bunch of inexperienced people who are going to be running the power company. Like, the candidates were going to be the ones actually scrambling up the power line poles and doing things.
Yeah, like Ken Lay offered some sort of trust.
Well, even the union, representing the PGE workers sided with PGE and, trotted out that bit that, under PGE you'd have experienced personnel, maintaining your energy sources, not recognizing that what we're talking about is a change of management.
Yeah, that's the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers 125.
It was very disappointing, yeah.
The thing is that now we have the city of Portland was, and maybe still is, the best hope, but it appears that they've either put it on the back burner or have completely taken off the table any possibility of acquiring PGE, and instead they're settling for an anemic rate process, which may or may not pan out. And apparently this morning the PUC is releasing a study of their own, their opinion as to whether or not the city of Portland has the ability to make rates. So hopefully we hear that on the news. But even if they're successful, there'll be litigation, which in the meantime, when PGE, still owned by Enron today as we speak, is starting to get its stock distributed on the New York Stock Exchange, it'll take 2 to 3 years to put out the shares. And then at some point, people will be secretly buying up these stocks. And when more than 50% of the total shares are bought up by one consortium group or company, then PGE all of a sudden is not that Portland company, and it'll be just another cog in some international corporation's wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is the idea of local control, local ownership, which is being put forward as a reason for PGE to be independent, is completely a bunch of hogwash.
Right, exactly.
And so it leaves us back where we were, which is if Eric Sten and Commissioner Leonard are 2 out of 5 city officials that are in favor of condemnation of PGE, we're missing one, and Mayor Potter and Sam Adams are nowhere to be found. And there is an election coming up. So I'm curious, as we go forward, Dave, the people that are running for those positions that are up, I'd like to flush them out of the woods on how they feel about public power in general, and more specifically whether the city of Portland should actually take over PGE either within the city limits itself, which is highly defensible politically, or less defensible but probably smarter, to take over all of PGE for everyone, including Portlanders.
Yeah, I think it has to be all myself. I think that trying to do it piecemeal is going to be a really rough road to go down. Yeah.
Well, that's true, but sometimes political sense and business sense don't meet.
True.
And the Portland City Council, under law, has absolute right, without any doubt, to acquire the assets of PG and, for that matter, Scottish Power, which is now being sold to Warren Buffett, at any time within city limits. And it doesn't have to deal with other counties being angry or other cities saying, I hate Portland.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. It would be more efficient to take over all of PGE for everyone. But unfortunately, those other 50 cities and six counties might not get the benefits,
mm-hmm.
At least in their minds.
Yeah, good point.
I appreciate your time, Dave.
Well, thanks a lot for raising that. And I think that, you know, we'll be raising those questions as this political season moves forward. And there's certainly a number of city council candidates that we need to kind of pin to the wall on that one. So
yeah, try Amanda Fritz. She apparently hasn't studied up and has taken no position. I find it rather strange that in so many ways she seems to be a new voice. And it's good that she's qualified for the public financing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I've talked to her myself. She said, I've just never had a chance to form an opinion. And I'm thinking, have you been reading the paper for the last 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, well.
And so I guess we'll see what happens.
We'll need to, maybe she just needs a little education.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot now. And let's, I think we have another caller on the line. Let's bring them on. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. I'd like to talk about the sensitive issue of person and the concept person and personhood. I've been taken aback by the lack of understanding of words that we encounter in everyday use. We think that we know what they mean, but as a lobbyist that spent 14 years down in Salem, I know that most of us don't have a clue about person. Do you have a handle on that as a journalist?
Well, why don't you go ahead and enlighten us?
Well, it comes from the Greek term persona, which was the thing that actors on the stage held up in front of their face to denote a character. And, of course, as often as they put a different one up, they could switch personas and, therefore, persons. A person does not exist unless they are a character, an identifiable something. We can say we have human beings, but that's distinctly not a person unless we talk about a tall person or a rich person or a black person or a bigoted person. When we start adding a characteristic, then we can have, and then and only then, can we have a person. But most of us in the general public are regarded as the people, citizens, and a lot of other things, but not persons technically for purposes of the law. I heard one of the comments you made earlier this morning about corporations have even taken on the identity of persons. Remember that? You were talking about...
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that that could be a problem in many ways. They have taken on the rights of citizens is basically the problem, though. But maybe an even bigger problem is most of us have taken on the identity of persons unwittingly, not knowing what we have stepped into when we sign certain forms that say, I'm a person such and such. I want to make clear that for legislative purposes, almost every chapter, every section of the law that our legislature goes down to Salem to write has a definition of person. There are a number of definitions of persons for purposes of the law, creation of law, and that it means the person who is regulated herein or within this body of law. It does not mean everybody, and that's why they have a little definition, usually at the beginning of each section. Now, one of the corporation groups that's really made a bundle on this phenomenon, this illiteracy,
mm-hmm.
are the insurance companies and the trucking industry. When they have foisted personhood on the general public, and this is one of the places where we can attack the corporate structure at a fundamental level, start chopping at the roots. If we only could comprehend that the term person for purposes of the Title 59 Business Regulations Part 2, which is most of us know as the Vehicle Code, is devoted to trucking industry, taxi drivers, bus drivers, but it has never applied to people who don't do it for hire. And if we want to stop underwriting the tax obligation of these commercial entities, imagine the change in our society. Imagine the localization of our economy. Imagine the potential of people who once thought they were persons like truck drivers and taxi cab drivers all of a sudden not being taxed like those corporations who, according to our current law, for example, it says a vehicle operated over the highways of the state for compensation or profit must comply with the titling requirements. And once a vehicle is doing that, then the person has to comply with the entire motor vehicle laws. Imagine if we didn't do that and we saved the $2,000 or $3,000 a year it costs to invest in solar panels on a roof or a home-based computer business or...
Okay, that's an interesting observation. I want to thank you for that, but we're going to have to move on now because we do have some other callers flanked up, so suggestion about how to deal with some cost ideas there. Let's move on to our next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Dave. You have a fabulous show again, as usual. What's perhaps the best part is that so many of these people have shown their intelligence generally this morning.
It's nice.
It's always a pleasure.
It's nice to hear that, yeah.
I have two things. Following personhood concept is great because I have an issue about that. Not an issue about that, but something to say about it. But the streets of Taiwan are not the concern the earlier gentleman about an hour ago were talking about. It's the Straits of Malacca that are the real strategic concern in Southeast Asia. There, that's mm-hmm. where all the ships go through near next to Singapore. And we've heard about that ever since September 11th. And that's the concern there, the super strategic concern. Of course, the Taiwan or Formosa and China thing and unification, the United States has recognized it's one country all along.
Mm-hmm.
That's a deeper issue, but the strategic straits in Asia are in the Straits of Malacca.
Yeah, it's a really busy. Anyone who's ever been through there, it is. It's like a
narrow lane, right?
Yeah, it's like a freeway at rush hour.
Exactly. But following personhood is this idea. You know, we all talk about corporate personhood.
Mm-hmm.
The court apparently over the years has decided that money is speech.
Yeah.
Campaigns, right? Well, if money is speech and speech is free, this is a sign I would wear on the side of the highway. If money is speech and speech is free, well, shouldn't it go to follow that money should be free? Because in the Islamic world, interest is in so much of the Islamic world, any interest is considered usury and
yes.
immoral. And in some ways, in that fundamentalist kind of way, if we all really obeyed our ancient religions, we wouldn't be feeding off of each other through this concept of interest and so forth. Money would be free, but that would be in an entirely different world, and we would not be at war with each other. We would our moral principles would guide every civilization. You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening to me.
Oh, thanks. Interesting observations there, and I like the fact of pointing out that, you know, we there are some core values in what's being too often labeled as, you know, fundamentalism, that we should be embracing, such as the usury idea. Anyone who's had anything to do with one of those paycheck loan places, there's a need to chase those folks out of the temple, that's for sure. So let's go to our next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. As an employer, I really take issue with that earlier caller who wants his money from this kicker. When you're an employer, you actually need to not only satisfy your own self, but you also need to help satisfy your community because that helps your business.
Mm-hmm.
And you also need to have a positive attitude because this actually helps your employees. Your employees are going to feed off of you, and thus they are going to then produce according to the way you feed. And if you have a bad attitude, your employees are not going to produce well. You are going to continue to have a worse attitude, and you are going to actually harm your community. So people like that need to be run out of business because they hurt all of us. So this person who keeps calling in periodically and giving all of us this negative feeding really needs to just shut his doors. He's not a happy employer. He's not a happy businessman. He's probably a failure in his own mind, and that makes him a failure in the community and a failure at business. So I personally look at it like this. If he really wants to be successful, give the money back to the community. Actually fight for the community to keep the money and help with health insurance that he doesn't give his employees.
Mm-hmm.
And help with the schools so that his future employees are educated enough to actually give him good product and give the community good service.
Well, I think, you know, you hit it on the head. He has the option of paying for it in a proactive way of putting those tax dollars back in to provide the services for a healthy community, or he can keep his check for 50 cents or $100 or whatever and, you know, basically end up paying for it in a deteriorating business climate because people are not able to go out and purchase things. They're having to spend it instead on, you know, just basic things like health care and what have you, out of their own pockets. So it's not like you're going to get away one way or the other. You're going to pay. It can be in a positive, constructive way, or it can be, you know, in his fashion, which is sort of fouling the commons for everyone.
This is exactly my point.
Well, it's a good one to be made and reiterated, and it needs to be heard more often in the business community. I know there's a lot of responsible business people out there who believe that, but then there are the others who, you know, think that...
They're the squeaky wheels,
yeah.
And they make business look bad. All corporations are not bad.
Oh.
Yeah, there are a bunch of them that are, and they make the rest of us look horrible. And we're actually trying to not only feed our own families, but we're actually trying to feed the community, and that needs to be put out there. And these negative, really bad business people need to be put out of business. And the way to put them out of business is you go in, you see the attitude as a customer, don't go back.
You know, and usually when you go into those sort of places, it's pretty easy to tell because usually the workers aren't real happy folks either.
Exactly.
So, well, good point.
Thank you.
Thanks for that. And before we move on to our next caller, just let people know that you're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM. This is Voices from the Edge, and I'm Dave Mazza. Joanne's not here today, but she will be back next Thursday, raring to go. And before we move to our next caller, just want to point out there's some real good reasons to stay tuned to KBOO today. At 9, it's a pilot program on sports and society hosted by Alon Robb. The guest will be Paul Goodrich of African Sports Outreach. Interesting here. At 9:30, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. Always an interesting way to spend a half an hour. At 10, Miai Kim presents a documentary, Voices of Iraqi Americans on War and Peace. That's followed at 10:30 by Julie Bernard's guest on Art Focus. Her guests are local ceramic artists and educators Ted Vogel of Lewis and Clark College, of Lewis and Clark, and Thomas Orr of the Oregon College of Arts and Craft. They'll talk about the National Ceramics Conference in Portland this month and related events. That's quite a big thing. There's over 100 sites in town that are going to be exhibiting ceramics and pottery. It's quite a coup for it to be happening here in Portland. My office happens to be one half of us. I share an office space with a pottery studio, and they've been spinning their wheels and firing their ceramics nonstop. And at 11 is Democracy Now! Looks at the upcoming new nuclear age as President Bush asks Congress for $27 million for the first new nuclear weapon program in two decades. also look at the case of Veterans Affairs nurse in Albuquerque, New Mexico, who was investigated for sedition after she wrote a letter to a local newspaper criticizing the Bush administration's handling of Hurricane Katrina and the Iraq War. And finally, a feature on the ongoing battle over uranium mining in the Navajo Nation. Lots of good things. Stay tuned, and it's the best way you can spend your morning. So let's move on to our next caller. I know we've got a few of them lined up. Good morning, caller.
Oh, thank you, Dave, for taking my call, and thank you once again for just a wonderful, wonderful show. You're always great.
Oh, thank you.
Just great. And so is your paper. I have just a few kind of oddball things to toss out here. I just have this feeling, the one woman called and she wanted to know how Dick Cheney, you know, could live with himself. It's not a problem. Most of those people in those positions are psychotic. They are without conscience, and it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And we are only here to be exploited by the corporados. And we have 2-3 jobs going usually at all times just to survive. And one was with a corporado at a hotel, and I'd have these managers who'd be just growling about having to pay labor. This labor costs were killing. You know, in this marble palace, they would say this, had the nerve to say this. And I said, well, why don't you just close down the whole hotel and then you don't have to pay any labor at all? Well, you know, that didn't make him happy either. Sometimes you just can't please folks.
What do they want, you know?
What do they want? Just can't please these guys. And then about down to the Blazers, I mean, if that isn't just
unbelievable gall, isn't it?
Unbelievable. And I'm thinking, well, you know what? They could do what the schools do. They could have bake sales. They could have car washes.
Mm-hmm.
They could work on a commission. They could work on a commission, depending how their game goes, and then have to purchase their own health care as well.
I like the car wash thing. That's a great idea. I think that, you know, Paul Allen should be out there with, you know, sponges offering to wash down my car for helping the Blazers out.
Yeah, and I'll leave a little donation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, those are just some thoughts, and I have a very twisted mind, and things just kind of come out curly. But it's okay, but thanks for taking my call, and we'll talk again.
You have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And before we jump to the next caller here, I just want to remind folks that a little later, well, couple of things coming up also. Saturday is going to be an Immigrants' Rights March taking place at noon in Pioneer Courthouse Square. As you know, the current administration is attacking immigrants at an unprecedented rate and a variety of ways. And the same fellow who's brought us that wacky Real ID legislation that's trying to turn licenses into national paper, into our national identity cards, has also come up with some legislation regarding immigration that is pretty draconian. That's Representative Sensenbrenner from Wisconsin, Republican from Wisconsin. So a number of groups, including Jobs with Justice, is organizing a rally and march noon this Saturday at Pioneer Courthouse Square. It would be good to turn out, show your solidarity and support for the folks who are probably the farthest down on the ladder in terms of being disempowered and disenfranchised and not having much of a voice and being the most targeted. So don't miss that. And if you've got any questions, give Jobs with Justice a call. And then, of course, on March 19th, there's going to be a big event, the big rally occurring to mark the anniversary of the Gulf War, the Iraqi War, and that'll be happening in the afternoon. You can, you know, check in. There'll be more about that coming down, but you want to make sure, I think it begins at 1:30, there'll be people starting to gather down at Waterfront Park and near the Morrison Bridge, and the thing will start around 2 o'clock, and be good to get out there and show the colors. So let's move on to our next caller. Good morning, caller. Are you there, caller? Well, we're just having a little gap here.
You can hear me?
I can hear you now.
Hey, this is Liz with the Oregon Public Power Coalition.
Hey, Liz.
You know, the poster child for not paying taxes would have to be PGE. The headline a couple years back was PGE pays $10 in income tax on earnings of $66 million.
Well, you know, they're good at collecting the taxes. They just aren't very good at doing something with them other than keeping them, huh?
Right. Right. Nobody seems to call them on it. And so that's what's going to be sort of interesting about today's little meeting down at the PUC. Of course, all three PUC members are appointees of the governor. And as Leonard mentioned in the article in yesterday's Oregonian, it's probably going to be another opportunity for them to pat themselves on the back about what a good job they're doing.
Well, perhaps, you know, folks would get more excited about this if everybody started adopting the PGE method of collecting the taxes, but somehow just forgetting to move them on to the government agency they belong to.
Yeah, well, it may come to that. There was some talk earlier about who candidates who support or don't support public power. Of course, we've been talking to some of them.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, Amanda Fritz has been sort of missing in action. She hasn't framed any opinion, and frankly, we're sort of surprised because unless you live under a rock, it's hard not to have read something in the newspaper over the last, Enron's been in bankruptcy since December of 2001, so it's just, obviously we're fairly focused on this issue, but even if you're not focused on it, you should have heard something about it, read something about it. I wanted to mention there is a candidate, Lucinda Tate, who is in the race, the same race against Saltzman, who is very supportive of public power. So I just want to put that out there.
Okay, well.
And hopefully in the paper we'll get some feedback on what took place down in Salem. Leonard and Sten will both be attending to talk with them about why PGE's race are the highest in the Northwest.
All right. So, Liz, if folks who want to grill their candidates on these issues, is there a good website for them to go to?
The best one is probably the Portland website, Portland Online. They have contact information for all the candidates. I don't have the websites memorized for Lucinda and Amanda, but you can certainly get them on the voter-owned elections portion of the PortlandOnline.com.
Okay, well, that's good. So folks can kind of get themselves a little up to speed before hitting them up with those tough questions.
Yeah, great show today. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Liz. Take care. Bye. And let's move on to our next caller since we're getting short on time here. Good morning. Good morning, caller.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I have just a couple of quick things to shoot out. One is something I've seen in I got to turn on the radio here, sorry.
Oh, good.
Something I've been seeing in Portland is there's so many creative people here and such a need for, jobs to employ them that I wanted to know, I wanted to say I wish that there'd be a promotion and offering of, some kind of public money to promote the creation of small businesses that can export this creativity, abroad to other parts of the country, to other parts of the world, to use this energy that we have here to bring money into Portland.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one thing.
That's a good idea.
Another thing I thought about, this Bush travels to India and seeking funding repeatedly for usable nukes and this type of weapons that can be deployed preemptively abroad, such as in potentially Iran in the near future. To me seems like a horrible nightmare. Which is obviously bad for human survival, children and families and ecological impacts and everything of having some kind of nuclear weapon that you call usable and then can deploy preemptively.
That's an adjective you don't generally want attached to nuclear weapons, I agree.
Oh, man. The last thing is, the lack of guts in the Democrats, in Washington to take Bush and his administration to the wall for any of their impeachable offenses, like this wiretapping, misuse of public funds, a revenge outing of CIA agents, false intelligence leading to a war and the loss of life, 30,000 Iraqis killed and several thousand Americans for, on false pretenses, extraordinary renditions, kidnapping, torture, assassination, etc. How come there isn't anybody with more guts there in Washington to actually take these guys to task and go the distance on persecuting them for these very clear offenses?
it's money, 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 and endless bombardment by lobbyists. I think even the, you know, the most committed would have a hard time in the environment of Washington, D.C. It's, I don't know what you do about it. I mean, pave the whole city over and build a capital somewhere else and start fresh, maybe, because it's almost like it's, you know, embedded in the soil and air itself. It's become such a corrupt place. So, but good points to raise. We're going to have to move on because we're getting close to the end of the program, and I've got a bunch of folks lined up for calls. Thanks
all
for
right,
those
thanks
observations.
A lot.
And let's bring on our next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Thank you very much for your work. Thank all of the members of your listening audience. They deserve much respect. I can't believe that still to this date there's no interest in the mercenaries in New Orleans. The as they call them in Iraq, what do they call the civilians that are fighting in Iraq? U.S. citizens.
Oh,
and anyway,
we know what we're talking about.
Right, right. The Wacken Huts, the Black Hawks.
Exactly.
Yeah. I still can't believe that my fellow citizens aren't interested in that. We have certain things that we hear about every day on the news, from trivial, foolish stuff to some serious stuff. But it's daily, you know. It's daily discussed on this show. But the situation with death squads in the country, the same ones that they have in Iraq, El Salvador, Ecuador, Thailand, it's obvious and open now, you know, that they exist in the U.S. and no one cares about it. They just announced on the news that the U.S. is seeking funds and approval, which comes along with the funds, naturally, to develop new kinds of nuclear weapons. And we're talking about using my children, my nephews, my nieces, my son and daughters to go places and kill people because they want to have nuclear weapons.
Yeah, that's. I think that's pretty much the game plan.
And no one is talking about it. So, you know, sometimes even in your own family, you know, you feel like you have to disassociate from these people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think, you know, part of it may be that maybe it's we're in the belly of the beast, and it's really, you know, we don't like to admit it, but we've been beaten down pretty hard.
That's right, yeah.
You know, when you look at, and we were talking a little earlier on the program about the Philippines, and, you know, here's a country that certainly had its history of pains and suffering at the hands of all sorts of folks, the U.S., the Japanese, you name it. And yet, you know, they have a sense of solidarity that's just remarkable. They're on the verge of, you know, possibly overthrowing their third president peacefully. It looks like that's the way they're starting to go, at any rate. And, you know, somehow they have something that seems to be eluding us in terms of, because I agree with you, I wake up some mornings and wonder why, if we're rational people, we aren't out in the streets, you know, just tearing things apart with the outrages that are occurring around us. But
in lieu of that, we hear, especially in the belly, have the opportunity to do many things, you know. I'm going to say this quickly and get off.
Okay.
There should be a committee of the people with the purpose of employing the best legal and social reconstruction minds in the society to form a committee of boycott and a technology for boycott. And people who are experienced in the application of a boycott, experience with South Africa and other, and Montgomery bus boycott and other places. And until people are willing to at least acknowledge that that's their weapon, that's the weapon that God has given them. That's what Martin Luther King told them.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say we're here to get our heads busted and bleed and die forever. No.
No.
He went on to the economic boycott.
Right.
And Jesse Jackson learned that from him and put it to his own personal use.
And taking a step back, Gandhi, you know, boycotting the salt and the cloth the British were trying to force the people to buy.
Exactly. I'm going to go and let you expound.
Well, I'm going to let the next caller go because we're running short. But thank you very much for raising those points.
Yeah.
And we're winding up about 5 minutes left, so I'm going to ask anybody else on the line to kind of move quickly. But I guess we don't have anyone else on the line. So I apologize now for rushing that last fellow a bit. But he raises some good points. It's amazing when we look around and see the struggles that are taking place across this globe, and there are some very inspiring things that jump out at us. The Philippines is a country I've spent some time in and have great respect for the people there and have watched them, you know, endure incredible amounts of repression and injustice. I was there during the Marcos years, for example, and yet they have a resiliency and a sense of, you know, who they are that we've certainly seemed to be a little lost on, I think, and their willingness to just drop it all and go out in the streets. We need to probably try to emulate that. We're going to squeeze one more caller in. Let's bring the next caller on. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, we talked about a lot of problems this morning, and what we need to realize is that God Almighty is in control, and he knows everything that is happening, everything that will happen, and we don't need to be afraid because God is in control.
Okay.
And he is orchestrating all these things because he guides and leads the hearts of men, as the Bible says, and so we don't need to fret and worry because God Almighty is in control. Not Allah, not Buddha, because these are all men who, you know, lived and died, but, you know, God Almighty is still alive. And so there's no sense in fearing.
Okay. Well, thank you for that thought. And we're winding up here. This is KBOO 90.7 FM. I'm Dave Mazza, and this is Weird Voices on the Edge here. Joanne's not here today, but she will be back next week. We've had, I think, a pretty interesting range of discussion. As always, we got wonderful listeners out here at KBOO. Folks are always bringing up very good points, very interesting ideas. We're going to tell you to stay tuned. Don't touch that dial. We've got a whole great morning of broadcasting coming up. I'm Dave Mazza. You have a good day now.
Good morning. It's the Thursday morning radio zine for March 2nd. Coming up this morning on KBOO. At 9, it's a pilot program on sports and society hosted by Alon Robb. The guest will be Paul Goodrich of African Sports Outreach. At 9:30, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. At 10, Mie Kim presents a documentary, Voices of Iraqi Americans on War and Peace. At 10:30, Julie Bernard's guests on Art Focus are local ceramic artists and educators Ted Vogel of Lewis and Clark and Thomas Orr of the Oregon College of Art and Craft. They'll talk about the National Ceramics Conference in Portland this month and related events. And at 11, Democracy Now! Looks at the upcoming new nuclear age as President Bush asks Congress for $27 million for the first new nuclear weapons program in two decades. Also, we'll look at a case of Veterans Affairs nurse in Albuquerque, New Mexico, who was investigated for sedition after she wrote a letter to local newspaper criticizing the Bush administration's handling of Hurricane Katrina and the Iraq War. And finally, a feature on the ongoing battle over uranium mining in the Navajo Nation.